It's time for Inside LCC, an inside look at Lansing Community College's academic programs. We've got you covered with programs that nourish creativity and exploration, cultivate your purpose, and guide you to your career. Listen as we explore some of the opportunities at LCC and learn from conversations with faculty members, staff, and students.
Hello, I am Melissa Kaplan, and I am delighted to be here in the studio today with the lead faculty for the geology program, Kirsten Wright. Welcome, Kirsten.
Thank you, Melissa.
I'm really excited to learn more about geology and share with our listeners all the possibilities for studying it here and also what they might do once they have studied it here at LCC. So, first of all, tell me a little bit, how long have you been with LCC?
I've been teaching here at LCC for about 10 years.
Wonderful.
And I've always loved teaching, and I love the opportunity to teach and share with students. Prior to teaching here, I worked in environmental remediation, so we worked on contaminated sites. I study a lot of the data, and we put together plans to clean them up.
Wow. Was that like industrial sites or residential?
It was a lot of industrial sites, both in Michigan, across the U.S., and even a few globally.
Wow. That's a huge job.
Yes. Yeah. I ran a lot of the data and data analysis, and it was a really fun job to do and rewarding to know that we were cleaning stuff up. But it's even more rewarding now that I'm teaching and seeing students learn.
That's really wonderful. And it's interesting, and we can come back to this because I'm intrigued about your background in geology and then that job, which says to me that somebody with a background in geology can do all kinds of things.
Absolutely. When people hear about geology, they think just rocks. And I do have a lot of fun with rocks.
Yes, you do.
But it's also earth processes. It's contamination stuff. So career opportunities are really everywhere. There's a lot in the petroleum industry, but there's also a lot in the environmental industry, both advocating and in cleanup.
So you said people think about rocks when they think about geology, and I sure do. And I think about layers of rocks, and I think about things like petrified forests. Tell me a little bit, how would you define geology for somebody who may be intrigued but doesn't know that much about it, but maybe thinking, this could be something I want to study?
Well, geology is literally the study of the earth. That's what the word is made up out of. So there's a lot of processes that we study, how the rocks form, but also things like how rivers work, their deposits, and how they move water around and carve out valleys, volcanoes, earthquakes, everything that happens on the earth.
So within the earth and outside the earth, such as glaciers as well.
Yes.
Whereas the atmosphere is probably another science, the study of the atmosphere.
We only look at as far as how it interacts with some of the physical parts of the earth, but it's also very dynamic when we talk about contamination as well.
Yeah. That's, you know, and we know how the earth changes, but at the same time, day to day, many people probably just think of it as the substantial thing that I exist on, and yet it is so dynamic.
It is. On a day-to-day basis, we don't see many changes, but when you start to look through years or start to look into the history, the earth really is very dynamic and ever-changing.
Yeah. So tell me a little about the program here at LCC.
So the program here at LCC, we have a geology degree that would lead students through the first 2 years of intending them to transfer into a four-year program. Most jobs in the geology or environmental industry would need a bachelor's. So we've assembled things for students to know what they would need to take, and also some interesting things in that area, which would lead them into a four-year. Also, we have a conservation and sustainability degree program, which is very similar in that it mostly leads students into a four-year program. And the conservation and sustainability includes a lot of biology as well as some of the physical things that geologists work with. And there's a lot of different directions that sustainability can go through.
So what are some of those directions?
The biologists would better speak to that.
Okay.
I have that physical perspective.
That's interesting that it's within geology, but yet it kind of crosses the disciplines.
It very much does cross the disciplines. So as a geologist, the microbes have an influence, and that's biology. A lot of ecosystems are more biology than geology. And so ecosystem management like wetlands and advocacy groups for some of our ecosystems, either in Michigan or outside of Michigan, a wider perspective too.
That makes sense. Has that increased in interest, the conservation and sustainability?
Absolutely, yes. The conservation and sustainability is a very much an increasing industry, and our students have a lot of interest. Whether they want to go into sciences or not, a lot of students place a lot of importance on taking care of our planet, and understanding our planet and how things work is really a big first step.
I'm really glad to hear that. Yeah. So what kind of classes, for example, in conservation and sustainability, what are some of the classes that students would be taking?
A lot of it's a broad base. So a year of just about each of the sciences. So a year of biology, a year of chemistry. We throw in some geology, and also physics is a good one to take, having some foundation in math. Mm-hmm. A couple of extras that are really good skills to start building are things like our geospatial program as well.
What's that?
Some people think drones. Some
okay.
think of, you know, like the satellite system that drives our phones. But also we can use that spatial analysis to look at our data and to understand how things are working. When I worked in environmental remediation, I did a lot of spatial data analysis, and the GIS skills, so geographic information systems, those skills I used a lot of. So it's good to have in your back pocket.
What's spatial analysis?
Spatial analysis, one really good example is we had a contaminated site that we took a lot of samples from. And when...
What was it contaminated with? Do you know? Or is that what you were investigating?
We were investigating. Mm. And it was contaminated with so many things that I can't even say.
Wow.
So that was one of the challenges with the site. When we had a sample that had a high concentration of, say, a volatile organic carbon, those are the things that can evaporate as well, then we needed to know where that location was. And that demanded a certain remediation system.
Oh.
If a location had a lot of heavy metals in it, that demands a different remediation system. So then taking those samples and the data from them, comparing them to criteria to see what exceeded, which would have been hazardous to people, plotting those onto maps so that then we can start to analyze where those contaminants are and how to address them. That's a lot of spatial analysis.
I see. So multi-layered effort. Wow.
Yes.
So in geology, what kind of classes would students at LCC expect to take?
So in geology, we have three geology classes. Two of them are very much part of a full bachelor's program. We have physical geology and historical geology. Our third class that's available, and I would encourage any geology student to take, is also environmental geology. We put more spin and more focus on the interaction of people and earth systems, both our effect on the systems and the systems' effect on us. And then in a geology degree program, those students are also going to take a year of chemistry, a year of physics, and a year of biology. And then when they move on to a four-year university, they're going to start taking more specialty courses like in sedimentary rocks and igneous rocks, minerals, and some specialty things.
So here they're getting a nicely rounded foundation in the sciences, as well as a little bit of specialization in geology, and then they move on to really focus on geology at a four-year.
You got it, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great. I know we have all of our science programs are really, really solid. So as far as transferring, where are some of the schools that our students decide to transfer to?
Quite a few of our students go to MSU. I did both my undergraduate and graduate studies at MSU.
Well, hello, fellow Spartan.
Awesome. Go green.
Go white.
Michigan Tech also has a fantastic geology program.
What a great place to study. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with right around here in the Lansing area, but boy, in the UP, that's rich, isn't it, as far as geology access?
There's a lot of sites within a short distance up at Michigan Tech. Here in the Lower Peninsula, Western Michigan University also has a very strong program. They house the Michigan Geologic Survey, along with several educational programs. And interestingly enough, Lake Superior State up in Sault Ste. Marie, they're a small college, but they have a very strong geology program. That's where I was able to launch out of with a field trip with other earth science teachers this past summer. And we had some fantastic experiences.
I want to know about that. And also, for those of you who are watching the vidcast of this program, you're going to get to see some cool things that Kirsten has brought in, some really cool rocks. For those of you who are listening, we'll try and describe them to you. So tell me about that field trip. And then also, let's do a little show and tell here.
Yeah. So that field trip caught interest out of, we went to the MSTA conference. MSTA is Michigan Science Teachers Association, and there's a subgroup of Michigan Earth Science Teachers. They lead several field trips, and they gave us opportunity we went up to the north side of Lake Superior, and we collected and saw a lot of rocks off of the bedrock up there. Including the key interest was one of the latest collecting crazes called uprolites.
Uprolites?
Yes, uprolites is the fun name. It's made out of a rock. The base name is syenite, which is not so familiar, but most people know of granite. Granite is a rock that we see in a lot of buildings and countertops and tile. And syenite is just like granite, except it lacks quartz. So it's actually even a little bit more boring, if you want to show that to everybody.
So this is syenite right here?
That is syenite.
Okay.
And it's got a little bit less sparkle than granite. It starts out, a lot of people think, a little bit boring.
Like this side here is not quite as flashy as the other side. But I can see on the side here, you know, like when you think of granite countertops and kitchens, that right there looks a little bit like that, the pink and the black.
It does. We see the speckles of different colors. The cool thing about uprolites, though, is that there's some sodalite in it, and that sodalite's normally blue, but we don't see blue. The sodalite has been altered. The crystal structure's just a little bit tweaked enough that it fluoresces. And if we put UV light onto it, it fluoresces this very brilliant orange color.
Oh my gosh, and that's so cool.
Thank you. I've been very excited about these rocks. If you happen to talk to me and you bring up anything about this, you might have a long conversation on your hands.
Well, I can see why it's a collecting craze, because now, do people walk around with a flashlight? That's a special flashlight, right?
It is a special flashlight. Yeah. The good flashlights are a little bit pricey, somewhere between $50 and $100.
Okay.
But a flashlight like this one, you can walk along the shoreline and shine it on the rocks at your feet, and these rocks will fluoresce.
Oh, wow. And that, what kind of flashlight is that? What's it called?
It's a UV light.
UV, okay.
So it has an ultraviolet. This one also has a filter. A lot of the ultraviolet bulbs put out some blue light that we can see. Technically, UV is past the spectrum where our eyes can see, and that's what we talk about with fluorescence.
So besides their property of fluorescing, what else is the sort of importance or relevance of these particular combinations of rock?
Not a lot. They are found usually with volcanics, and they cool underground. And the uprolites that we find along the Lake Superior lakeshore, even some along Lake Michigan, they got plucked off by the glaciers and transported down into the Great Lakes by those glaciers. And then when we go back up to the bedrock source, that's alongside of a volcanic complex with both some rocks that cooled underground slowly, and we can see their crystal structure.
Okay.
And then there's also igneous rocks that cooled very quickly during that volcanic activity in deep earth history.
So what else do you have there? You have two other things that are really intriguing to me.
I do have, this one is a piece of native copper.
Heavy.
Native copper can be found mostly in the Upper Peninsula, And it's a pure copper. And it's forms that way and is found that way naturally. So this piece has not been refined or anything like that. It's just simply all the other parts have been weathered away. And then there's this blob of pure copper.
Wow.
We find them kind of commonly as the size of the palm of your hand.
This is a big piece. It's like two hands.
Very much. It is a big piece. And that's why it goes on my personal collection shelf.
Yeah. Yes, and I've been to your office, and you have quite a collection. And then you have another interesting...
And then the final one, during the same field trip, we had opportunity to go to an abandoned copper mine. So in that area, they drilled several holes. They have found copper in places. Other places, they were looking for copper. So there's a special drill bit. When they drill down the hole, it leaves it's hollow inside, and it leaves this rock core.
And wow. We
get a good view of what's underground. This particular piece, the dark brown colors are from a lot of iron, which are heavy in the region. And then also the greenish pieces in that are pieces that were included into rocks underground. The greenish comes from a copper oxidation. Hmm. So that's showing us some presence of copper. That particular rock would not have been a good place to mine the copper out of. But there were other locations on that same piece of property.
Fascinating. Fascinating. It's I could see if somebody had even the slightest inclination. Not that you necessarily will have a job that means you're outside, but there's more opportunity probably to be outside if you are a geologist or in conservation and sustainability than some other fields, you know?
Yeah, the setting for a work environment, there's a lot of variety in both geology and conservation and sustainability. As one of our fellow faculty noted, if you love camping, there's projects where you might be out camping, you know, 10, 30 days during the summer, doing a lot of sampling alongside of it. So if you're that outdoorsy, you can. I've been on sites where we're outside during the day and then back home at night. And then I've also worked on different aspects of projects where I'm behind a computer all day, doing some really cool things like putting spatial data on maps.
That's great. So here at LCC, I want to make sure we have a chance to talk about some of the sort of outside the classroom opportunities that you provide and the collaborations with other disciplines. Do students get a chance to be outside? Do they have projects and are there practical experiences that they gain through the program?
Some of the things that we do within the program is we have a couple of field trips that we take, including out to Fitzgerald Park and Grand Ledge.
Oh, that's a great place
it
with
really
the ledges
is.
There.
And then another thing that the science department has been doing is collaborating with both other departments and bringing out our faculty from within our department and some professionals together into what we call meet and greets. And so we had a focus on being a scientist just in general. We brought together students and faculty and advisors and professionals from the science industry and offered an opportunity for students to talk to those people, see what it was like to work in the industry, ask questions of what kind of credentials and skills to do the work that they wanted to do.
That's a great opportunity. Really valuable. And I like that you do it in a sort of informal way across sciences, because starting out, somebody might have a real strong inclination in a particular direction, or they may know that science was an area that they wanted to pursue. So that's really valuable. You also have, I know there's a big project that involves a fossil park.
Yeah, we're trying to put together what we're calling a fossil garden.
Ah, fossil garden.
So it's like a rock garden, but better. We have a source for a very large stone or two that's limestone that's just full of fossils. And then the beauty of these particular rocks is that they are just soft enough that with some effort, you can pull pieces off of it.
So
it's a little bit crumbly, not quite falling apart. And we're going to encourage people to walk in to the fossil garden, step up, find your own fossils, identify some, and maybe even harvest off a piece to keep.
Oh, that's really great. You might have to replenish that if you get a lot of people really interested in taking from the garden. But that's very generous and exciting.
Yeah. The beauty of the idea of the fossil garden is we can bring in other aspects. So it's not just geology. There's history in it. There's biology in it. And then we hope to bring in like maybe some native plants for a more native style gardening. And
yeah, I was thinking horticulture, but then also the indigenous approach to the environment.
Absolutely. We would love to bring in some artistic elements as well. Create just kind of a nice little escape.
Oh, I love that.
And, you know, students are busy. They're heading from class to class. LCC has a lot of study spaces, but a natural space outside that's available to both students, staff, faculty, and the public. It would be fantastic.
I think that's great. You know, our campus, to me, it's a respite. And it's a little, well, like the Shigematsu Japanese garden is this jewel. And so to create more of these little jewels around that welcome people, but also have an opportunity to learn and be used in the classroom is really wonderful. I love that layering of enjoyment and relaxation and learning at the same time.
I agree. I'm really excited about it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. What else would you like to share as we wrap up? And I will include in the show notes, I'll make sure to include links to the program site and your email as well for people who want more information. Anything else you'd like to share?
There is not. I think we've covered it.
We've covered a lot. Other than going outside and doing some remote production while we walk and talk and look at things, we'll save that for another time. But this has really been great. Kirsten Wright with the geology program at Lansing Community College. Thank you so much for being on Inside LCC.
And thank you so much for the opportunity, Melissa.
I'm Melissa Kaplan, and thank you for listening to Inside LCC.
This has been Inside LCC. If there's a specific degree and program you want to hear more about, let us know by contacting us at lccconnect.org. Thanks for taking a listen. Inside LCC.